Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to Immunize Wisely and my guest Ricardo Biaz of the naturallawchurch.com. And I think you have .org too, right?
No, just .com.
Just .com. Okay. So you mentioned the state of the nation and Trump is a talking point. And this is actually more serious, I think, than people realize. That's why I mentioned it in the lead up to the show. If they are going to try to arrest Trump, these Soros-funded agencies and crazy people, you know, the DOJ, you know, on fraudulent charges. I mean, they're going for it, and that is really pretty frightening, because this is not just about Trump. This is literally about our entire country. And if they can get away with this, I mean, well, they're already getting away with quite a bit, as you know. So
yeah,
it's pretty serious. And, you know, I mentioned J.D. Rucker's analysis, but I mean, he had four main things that we need to know, and that there's only one candidate, you know, for in 2024 that's actually speaking up against this. You know, saying this isn't even about Trump. This is really serious. So that should tell you a lot. And then, you know, Congress. I mean, where's their reaction to this whole thing?
Right.
You know, that's really huge. So, you know, I mean, I think we know what Trump did say. I mean, he said in a tweet, our nation is he basically said, I mean, he said stuff like this in the, you know, how bad everything is. Millions are flooding through our open borders. Many have, you know, blah, blah, blah. And how we're literally just gone. You know, this country's already gone. But she says, now illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan district attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that, with no crime being able to be proven and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take our nation back. So he's actually encouraging us to get out of the street and say, you know, like, look what's going on in France. I mean, it's, you know, they've been protesting for the better part of a week now over this announcement that all their pension, all of their stuff is going to be gone. They're going to increase the age to when you can actually, you know, retire.
And yeah, Trump said something like, they're not coming against me. I'm just in their way.
Yep.
I don't think really that there's anybody, if anybody can help us, I think it's Trump. He had the support of the military. He has the power. He has he's well known everywhere. And the guy, everything that he was promising, he was keeping when he got into the presidency. But even though they screwed him up so many times and they came out of all those legal filings against him and then trying to impeach him and all those, and he still was able to do so much for this country.
Right. Yeah, in fact, I shared with a couple people that wanted it last week after the show. I dug up the article on whitehouse.gov before it was removed when, you know, the fake Biden presidency, you know, became apparent. So I grabbed it and saved it. And it is pretty amazing just what he was able to publicly accomplish, you know, what's known that he accomplished in such a short amount of time while he was under constant attack. I mean, I don't know any human being that can withstand it. People think he's a egomaniacal jerk. All I can say is maybe you need someone with a strong ego. People say
you have
that,
to. You have
yeah,
to.
And you know what?
To kill a wolf, you need a bear, and the bear is going to be drooling all over the place. That doesn't matter as long as he kills the wolf. That's the important thing, right?
Right on, Ricardo. My whole thing is, you know, when people talk about him, when they say they shook his hand or anything, he exuded leadership and warmth. He exuded a presence that, you know, demanded respect. And, you know, everyone acknowledges that, anyone that's been around him. You know, he's not, you know, I mean, he's a natural leader. He is.
When Biden was running for president, if you type the word Antifa.com, it went to his campaign. And even today, and I just checked it, if you go to Antifa.com, it takes you to the White House page. That just shows how obvious that is and how cynical these people are. They just think that they're so powerful and that nobody can stop them. Like they say, they never thought she would lose, pertaining to Hillary Clinton. They weren't ready for this, so they came out with everything they had, and they haven't stopped. I mean, if this guy really wasn't for real, he wouldn't be running again.
Well, this is the whole thing.
This shows the country.
Ricardo, our elections have been rigged for years. I mean, we would have had, what was the guy, Ross Perot, you know, actually they flipped his votes with Bush. That's how Bush got in. And then, you know, who was the other guy? Anyway, they've been doing this for a long time, flipping votes, and then they've gotten really, the Dominion machine has been in place for a long time. So Hillary was a shoo-in. She was going to be in. She was promised the presidency. And when she didn't get in, of course she's going to cry fraud, because it was the military in the background and NSA and everything that guaranteed that they were going to change the whole tide and get Trump in, because otherwise we wouldn't have a country. If Hillary was in now, we wouldn't have a country. Well, we've obviously, the whole Hillary, Biden, Obama, program accelerated just under Biden in 2 years, who was just a puppet.
Well, they weren't prepared for so many people voting for Trump. They figured that they had discredited him so much on the fake media that not that many people would jump in to try to fix him. Obviously, in 2020, they were ready to do whatever they needed to move the votes in the favor of Biden. But in the time of Hillary, they didn't expect they would need to do so much. That's what caught him by surprise. And now they came back with a vengeance. I mean, give me a break. When you saw when Trump was having his rallies, Biden has never had a big rally. I remember seeing a presentation that he did for 10 people, and they were all from the media. So,
right, exactly.
It was so obvious. And everything that we saw, all the videotapes of everything that was happening when they were counting the votes and taking stacks of votes from nowhere and votes without creases and all these things that prove the fraud, and yet everybody says, well, they haven't proven the fraud. It's so obvious. Everybody's bought and paid for.
Right.
In the media and the politicians and McConnell? Mm-hmm. McConnell. So.
Yeah.
It's
Mitch
bad.
McConnell. I know. I totally agree with you. Yeah, it's not good at all. So you do have a church. Do you do a lot of stuff online? Because I know I joined your church. And I get your emails, but my emails are going to an account that I guess I don't see them that much, because I get an overflow on Hotmail. And I know I haven't kept up with you as much as I need to, but I know your church is free. You've done all of this stellar work helping people, and you can join your church and for free, and you have a way of for people to download a membership card so that they're members in good standing, right?
Well, not members, disciples. I make that clarification. Okay. The reason that I didn't want to use the word members because it has legal connotations to it. So, for example, if I were to be me as a representative of my church were found to do something where somebody might come to sue me, they might say, well, if you're a member, you're part of that, and therefore we're going to pull you. So what I decided on doing is creating disciples. Disciple is simply a person that follows some sort of a philosophy. So if something were to happen to me, if they were to charge me for something or bring up some civil lawsuits, they cannot come back against my disciples. And what I did is that once I started seeing that the religious exemption, and I was saying this from the beginning, the religious exemption is where we had to focus on in order to avoid these vaccines. And with that in mind, that's when I opened my church. And I've always been very religious, and I, even when I was a kid, I considered joining a Catholic organization. But a year after SB 277 passed, I decided to open my church to help people get a religious exemption, because there were no religious leaders out there that were writing any sort of letters on behalf of people that didn't vaccinate. And of course, the Pope or the Vatican came out with a document saying, well, yeah, they're terrible, but take the vaccine anyway. So I decided to make the church. And like you said, it's free. Then no donations are required. I've had many people that I help get exemptions for their children or for their work offer to give donations to me. And I always refer to somebody else, to Bobby Kennedy or to Del Bigtree or And We Know, LT, and different organizations that are helping us out. I'm self-funded. I don't want anybody to be able to come back to me and say, that's why you have the church, because you're getting money out of what you're doing. And I'm not. So I prepare all the different information that all my disciples need. So whenever they need a religious exemption, I can provide it. And when somebody's denied the exemption, I help them create documents to fight that. And right now we have a person that's in the Colorado EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity. He submitted a complaint because he was fired from his job because he didn't vaccinate. He worked for a company that does government work, and they denied his religious exemption. So we have that going right now. And interestingly enough, they made a decision against him, and we filed an appeal to that, and they said that within a month they were going to be deciding. Gave like 15 days for the other party to submit papers, and then about a week after that, we got an email saying that the date was going to be changed. But instead of changing it more into the future, they actually made it sooner. So wow. I don't know. I got a feel. Unfortunately, I got a feeling that's not good news for us. But maybe it is. And the whole gist of that appeal is that employers have no right to question your religious beliefs.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, all they can do is say, oh, you're against it, your religion, that's fine. And I don't need anything else.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I found a case, a great case. Let me see if I can see it here. Hold on for a second. I think the case is Brunswick or something, that talks about the court saying, hey, we can't decide, we can't question people. Because if you were able to question somebody's religious beliefs, then somebody might say, well, prove to me that Jesus existed. You can't go there. So nobody can question your religious beliefs.
Right. Yeah, and I totally agree with all of that you just said. They don't have a right to question. As long as it's sincerely held religious belief, they don't have any right to say that you have to go to a church and all that. I mean, that's been shot down, but it's usually taken an attorney. You know, there's an attorney, Robert Moxley. He's getting older, but he's in Wyoming, and I know he did that for Wyoming, and he had a tougher time in Arkansas because they lost their religious and philosophical exemption or something. Something happened anyway. He got involved there, but, you know, the courts tend to be pretty darn corrupt, you know, because they're not constitutional courts. They're corporate courts. They're admiralty law courts.
You know, well, Moxley was one of the attorneys in the first SB 277 challenge, which they submitted the case, then they filed for an injunction. The judge denied the injunction, and everything that he wrote on that order or that decision, that just meant that they lost the injunction, so the case could have proceeded. And that was perfect, because now they had the argument by the court why he denied the injunction, And they could have broken that down in order to prove their case. In other words, he gave him the evidence that they needed in order to come back, and they dismissed the case without prejudice, and then they came back. I'll tell you, I have to be honest, I'm not 100% too enthusiastic about Moxley. One of the things that I recommended is that one of the things that you can do in a legal court case is that you can ask the court to take judicial notice of certain things. That means we accept this as true, and there's no argument in that. And I was saying we need to get a judge to go ahead and agree that vaccines have not been compared to placebos, that they haven't been tested for fertility or other things. And I did send that information to Moxley. I said, "Oh, you can't do that." And if I remember correctly, what's the name of the attorney here in California we were talking about the other day? Greg Glasser. He brought that up in his case, asking the court to take judicial notice of all these facts to lay the foundation. Because that's, as I said before, that breaks the whole thing. If you can prove that they haven't been proven safe, forget about whether the injuries are related, although that's important. But the fact that they haven't been proven to be safe because there are no placebo tests, then everything, the foundation for their arguments are blown away.
Right. Yeah, Greg Glasser, well, he's younger, too. Moxley's getting older, and he's tired. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm just saying, he really should have retired a while back. He lost his pizzazz. All he did was the Wyoming. He freed up the state of Wyoming from being required to be part of a church that has that as one of its tenets. So now they have free, you know, religious exemption. They can't question. But that's about all he did. So people thought he was pretty good. He messed up Arkansas. I forget all the details, but it's not good. It's not easy to get any exemption in Arkansas now. He actually muddied the water. And now I didn't realize he was even involved in California. That's how out of it I am. So I'm sorry. So anyway, there were several other things. Your disciples are, you know, that was the EEOC appeal that you're doing right now. So any of your people can help you, and certainly they're going to want to pay for some of the filings. Your disciple is certainly paying, because it's usually, even if you're helping him on the legal stuff, I mean, he, you know, there's usually obligations to, you know, type up stuff and pay the fees and that kind of thing, right?
No, but I'm not talking about filing with a court like in a lawsuit. I'm talking about filing with their employers in order to get the citation. I'm sorry, order to get the religious exemption. And then after that, I prepared the documents to go to EEOC. But I haven't prepared, and I'm not ready to and cannot help anybody to go to a lawsuit. For that, they would have to get an attorney. I can provide all the intelligence that I have, you know, all the writings that I've done, so they can use it as a basis for that. But no, I don't help them in court. I just help them get the exemption on their at the employer or the school level.
Right. Okay. That's what the things I do, but not. I'm probably not nearly as good as you at this point. You know, I'm just a little rusty. I helped. On the immigration issue, you know, for sure, getting a green card. But, I try to prevent having to do too much.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Immunize Wisely, and Ricardo Biaz is my guest with the Natural Law Church. You know, we are going to take callers, so if you feel like calling in, that's 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252. Yeah, the 800 number works, but, you know, right now everyone has, you know, you don't need to use an 800 number.
Right. Yeah. Earlier, by the way, I mentioned the Bruce Witz case, and that's the recent Supreme Court case where they say that the vaccines are unavoidably safe. And that also is where it says that if fraud is involved, that that's a completely different thing. The case that I was actually referring to, I said the wrong name of the case, it's United States versus Ballard. And that's from, I don't recall what year, I think 2000, no, I don't recall what year it was. But one of the things that it says there is men may believe what they cannot prove. They may not be put to the proof of their religious doctrines and beliefs. Man's relationship to his God was made no concern of the state. He was granted the right to worship as he pleases and to answer to no man for the verity of his religious views. So it's very clear on that case that the government cannot be asking you about what your religious beliefs are to explain it. And if the government or a court can't do it, even less can an employer or a school come back and try to question you like they did. Because as I was helping all my disciples, the initial questioning from the employers was very simple. Just explain it here, and we got to the point where they were asking questions, do you take Tylenol? And if you take Tylenol, they do contain fetal material, and therefore, how come you're against the vaccines? All these absurd things, and the same thing, and I have members, disciples of my church in at least 48 states the last time that I counted, So I'm getting information from all these different persons about what's happening to them, and they were all getting exactly the same type of questioning. So there's like a network where the attorneys of these organizations go to get all this information as to how to deny your exemption. They're not asking you because they really want to know what your religious beliefs are. They're asking you questions to trip you and trick you into saying something so they can say, uh-oh, now I cannot give you the exemption because of what you just said.
Mm-hmm. I pulled it up, the whole the truth or falsity of religious beliefs, free exercise of religion, and that in the United States versus Ballard, which is very...
Yeah, 1944. I just found it too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Supreme Court ruled that courts cannot examine the truth or falsity of religious beliefs, which is right on. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If they could prove that he was, you know, actually doing mail fraud and defrauding people... But no, people, you know, that's not, people believed in his ability to cure diseases, and it doesn't matter, you know, what people believe. People can believe all kinds of stuff. Yeah. The truth and falsity of your beliefs is not on trial.
Right.
Right. And that's really, really actually important. Yeah, because I cite the Brusewitz case a lot, too. I mean, that was, you know, really horrifying to a lot of us, you know, that... you know, giving them the power to literally experiment on our kids, you know, that it didn't matter if they're safe or not, you know, just really none of it matters.
Yeah, but of course the mentality of that case was they're not safe, but the implication there was because there's only one in a million anyway, so no big deal, right? But we know that that's not the case. Not to mention what we have now with the vaccine injection. There's a lot of injuries and deaths that are happening to that. So even that case would fall because of that argument.
Right, exactly. Because they've never proven that it's that rare. And, you know, we have the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, you call VARS. Anyway, that is... shows that, you know, less than 1% is even reported, and many people say it's less than that because it's not required by law, and someone has to take the time to actually fill out all the information. And I remember helping someone, you know, do the whole VAERS thing, and, you know, she didn't have a computer, and anyway, I was filling it out and doing, getting all the stuff for her. And I couldn't believe how tedious it was. We finally mailed it in. We could not get the online form to actually work, and so we ended up mailing it in.
Right, and they make it very complicated, so people are discouraged, including doctors. And the Pilgrim study, which is probably what you were referring to, from Harvard, that's the one that said less than 1% are being reported. So at a minimum, let's say it's 1%, that means that everything you have on VAERS, you just add two zeros to it to get an idea of what the reality is. And all that's another thing that was became very obvious with the COVID-19, that all the doctors were being immediately attacked if they said anything, which discouraged the filing and on that system.
Exactly. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Ricardo's my guest, and I did put out the phone line so far. No callers that I see anyway. So we're going to go ahead and continue on. I'm looking at your great paper. I'm right now on page 48, where, I mean, because I think a lot of people don't, we didn't really go over it well, how Dora Wright's Jesus Law professor in California. And she is talking to the California State Assembly in 2019 in June. And she's at the hearing in favor of what they call, it was, this is SB 276, which was to, basically eliminate all medical exemptions because right. They were threatening to investigate and revoke the medical license of any doctor who was issuing medical exemptions. And so, in most states, in order to practice any kind of medicine, you have to have a license. And you revoke that license, and it means that you don't have a business anymore, and you can't see patients. So, you can see patients, but then you have to turn it into a religious organization and have your own church, kind of like – so that's right. A whole other thing. But it has to be private pay. You can't take Medicare, Medicaid, or any insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So interesting how she you know, I love how you said, well, the one thing that Dorit and I agree on is that our freedom and whole way of life is at peril. We just disagree on who the culprits are. I thought that was great.
Right.
I mean, you have so many gems in this, you know. So, you know, you have like, you know, she attacked the movie Vaxxed, and then she attacked Died Suddenly, and she, you know, every you know, every documentary that's critical of vaccines in the least, she attacks. She's basically claiming that many of these people that collapsed, not all of them died, and you know, unbelievable. Because before this documentary came, they were saying that no one died of the shots. No one.
Right.
And now all of a sudden she's saying, well, maybe a couple, but not, you know, some of these people collapsed, they were revived.
Right. Well, one of the arguments that I put down on my document, on my own study, we can call it that, was that one thing that we know is that they are falling, and we're talking her, Plotkin, all the group that was conspiring, in a sense, to try to attack anybody that brought anything against vaccines, including Skeptical Raptor. By their writings, you can tell that they are reading everything that we're putting out there. So that means that they know for a fact all these things that are happening. So if you go to my study on page 65, I put down almost the whole page, a post that she made where she copied somebody's comments pertaining to everything that we've done. It says, having watched enough of these films, blah, 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 and then they attack Mickey Willis with Plandemic and Ivermectin and all that sort of stuff. So they're reading what we have. Therefore, the evidence that we have that proves that vaccines are dangerous, they know these things because they're reading them, and they're reading all our sources, and yet they deny it. Yet they deny the injuries and come and attack us. Now, the question is this something because they're just simply blind to it, or are they actually conspiring knowing that they're harmful? That's the issue. And obviously, in my paper, I made it clear that I cannot know. Nobody can know exactly what her motivations are by her, just like nobody knows what your motivations are. You may say something, but it can be something different. Only you know what your motivation is. So I put this on my document to show that she's aware of all the evidence that we're providing, and yet they come back and attack it.
She brings up all of these points that he makes in 14 minutes, you know, Mickey Willis, and then she says, once you become familiar with this sort of narrative and the elements, all of or some of which are generally employed in such propaganda exercises, you'll see them everywhere in science-denying films and books. Indeed, Willis's film reminds me very much of other quack and anti-vaccine conspiracy films.
That means they saw him. Her and whomever wrote that article, they've seen those films. They've seen the evidence. And now the question is, if I say, here's a study that says this, the question is, did they read the study? We provide the elements on our studies. Obviously, we don't republish every single study. We just take the facts out of the studies and put that information there. The question is, did they take the time to read the study to say, no, he was wrong in the way he interpreted it, or he's right, but I'm going to say it's not true anyway.
Right.
That's where the potential of fraud comes in. Because what they're doing and what she's doing is they're attacking our rights. She's trying to take our right not to vaccinate, and therefore there's a violation of our rights.
Right. And I love how you say, when it comes to fraud in the factum, this is defined as a misrepresentation that causes one party to enter into a transaction without clearly understanding the duties, obligations, or risks incurred. We're talking about the risk incurred. So she's leading people, you know, like the Pied Piper of Hamelin, leading people down this path, you know, to get these shots when they are not given informed consent at all.
Right. And if she's saying, you know, these vaccines are safe, I know that they're safe, so go ahead and take them. People that are taking it, they're being deceived by the statements that they're safe.
Right, exactly. So we do have a caller. Welcome, Sherry in Kansas. Welcome to Immunize Wisely. Thank you for calling, Sherry.
Angry, you hit it out of the park again. Sir, I would like to say we all owe you, and I think this is great, and I hope everybody listening to this broadcast will pray for you and your protection. And I hope that I'm just really appreciative of this. This is, you are truly a saint.
I wouldn't go that far, but thank you very much for the thought.
Well,
he is. Sherry, he is a saint. I'm telling you. I've followed this man, and he is so absolutely on fire and so dedicated, and has written, everyone he could think of that's in charge of our country and the state, exposing the fraud, and it just persists. He's known way before Trump came on the scene how broken everything is, and you know he's a testament to doing his darndest to help people avoid, because he says, this is what he says, Sherry. He says, and it's right there in the page 66 of the 74-page document. Because of the obvious harm caused by vaccines, and in an attempt to protect me and my family, as well as all children of God around the world, I have dedicated much of my time since 2015 not only to expose the dangers of vaccines, but also to expose those that push such inhumane agenda. And in the case of Dorit Rice, in good faith, I have tried to convince her to expose this fraud, to acknowledge the victims of vaccine injury, and to join me in my efforts, such as my recent post in her Facebook page, which she deleted shortly thereafter. And it should be noted that her full name is Dorit Rubenstein Rice. Okay? So, just so you know, she's part of that tribe.
Yeah. And, sir, you are so humble. God love you. Thank you for all your work. And everybody, let's pray for him. So, thanks.
Thank you, Sherry. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And then God bless you as well.
Right. Yeah, no, Sherry is a warrior for truth, too. And she knows a lot of the trials and tribulations that you've been through trying to protect all of us. And, you know, there's many warriors, Sherry, just like him. But I don't know anyone that, you know, sunrise to sunset, he's planning his next way of freeing us from this beast, system that's, trying to coerce us to poison ourselves and our, God-given DNA. So, in fact, during a break, just to mention this, one of the things that Anna Milhovis, anyway, Karen Kingston cites her too, and they're looking at these shots, and there's no evidence of mRNA. I mean, I think I did mention that, but what is in there is this nano technology with graphene oxide as a base that self-assembles inside people's bodies. And that, we already talked about it, changing our genetics and, bringing in, nanotech into our body, effectively kicking out our soul. So that's really quite, when people are, waiting to try to reverse the effects, a year down the road, I'm not sure what to even tell people. Most people try to reverse it right away if they have any suspicion at all. But anyway, thank you, Sherry. We have Charlie in Florida. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Hi, Angry.
Hi.
Hello, Hello, it's Ricardo. Is that correct?
Yeah, Ricardo.
Hello, Ricardo. I just wanted to make a comment and ask if how we go about joining this church and everything. You know that the World Health Organization, Biden is supposedly going to be giving them control over our, you know, where they could come in and take control of our health decisions and stuff in a case of a pandemic. And of course, we know that they make these pandemics out of, you know, out of nothing. You know, they just do it to get us vaccinated. Will these this joining this church, will that prevent them from being able to like come in and say, like, into an area and say, okay, this, you know, everybody in this, in your city has to be vaccinated because we've detected so many people with, you know, COVID or whatever kind of nonsense they're coming up with. Will this work for that also?
You know what, the way that the government is right now, it seems like nothing will work with these guys for the most part. Now, supposedly, they can get into the president from the executive branch, supposedly through with coordination with legislature. They can sign treaties, but in theory or in reality, they cannot go against any treaty, cannot go against the Constitution itself. So if the Constitution protects us like a religious freedom, supposedly they shouldn't. But if this becomes a reality and they say we now have to follow the WHO because we have a treaty with them and they said lock everybody down and get everybody vaccinated, I don't think that anything that I can do or anybody can do is going to help out other than the whole everybody rising. Because when they came out with the pandemic and they said lockdown for 2 weeks and everything that happened after that, it was all a bluff because they already planned on continuing for many, many years. If everybody would have stand up and say, I'm not doing that, I'm neither putting a mask or staying home, and we all showed up in the Capitol, they would have said, oh, wait a minute, I didn't mean that, and they would have taken it away. But people freely accepted that, and that was the issue. So I cannot guarantee in any way that religious rights will be protected in any way if they go to that extent. They're not even trying to protect them now that when they're not even part of that treaty and all these different states coming with all these different laws of making vaccines mandatory, whether it's the childhood or the COVID vaccines. As far as becoming a disciple of my church, my website is thenaturallawchurch.com. or www.thenaturallawchurch.com. When you go down there, you'll see that there's a tabs there that explain my church, all our principles, the authority of my church, what the foundation is, and there's going to be one sub-tab called Become a Disciple, and it explains to you all you need to do to become a disciple. As soon as you can print your own certificate of being a disciple of our church, and then once you do that and register there, because that's a place to do so, I will send you an email that would have all the information of all the different defenses that you can use if you're trying to avoid vaccination for your employer or for your child, assuming that you're not in a state that does not, like California, that does not accept religious exemptions to vaccination. And I provide you everything that you need for that. So yeah, you're more than welcome to join the church, both you and your family members.
Okay, well, thank you very much. This thing is supposedly a treaty. We don't have to abide by treaties. But the way they're going to slip it in is the way it says, the law says that if we have a treaty with a country that we have, you know, that we have are close to, like we have a treaty with Canada, that if Canada does it, then we have to abide by that treaty because Canada has it, and then that makes it law for us. So it's convoluting everything. Yeah,
right. Because the WHO is not a country. The WHO is not a country.
Exactly. This is what they were doing in April 9th, 2022. An article in Karen's News says they were working on making their international health regulations with the WHO a treaty to override our constitutions in both Australia and America. And but they're not a country. And that's all in our Constitution. You know, these are treaties between countries. That's, you know, part of international law. But we have a whole thing with treaties in our Constitution. So anyhow, stay tuned.
All they are just executive agreements. That's all they are.
Right, right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
okay.
Bye.
Thanks. So, yeah, a lot of times I like to skip the break because this is great discussions at the end of the show. And it's important that we talk about this because we need to stand strong for a Constitution, even if we have, you know, this corporate government that is an overlay over the Constitution. We need to act like we still have a Constitution.
De facto government. Yeah, we have to use what they have. Yeah, whatever's
available. Right.
Right.
And, you know, it's reported to me that our, you know, with this banking crisis, the real big thing is that the United States corporation and all its sub-corporations are bankrupt. We're totally bankrupt. And then the Federal Reserve and, you know, the whole thing and the whole house of cards is coming down. And it's the central bankers and the Federal Reserve system that has kept all this stuff in place. They keep the bar in place. They keep our courts in place to protect them and their shenanigans. So if that goes, then all the gloves are off and we can actually return to constitutional law. It's going to take some doing. We've have all kinds
of suffering.
And some suffering. We have a lot of illegal laws on the books that are going to end up going away. We're going to be going back to 1863, 1864, you know, and, you know, I mean, yeah, we want to have women's right to vote, but that was also under this de facto government. You know, the birth certificates, all that stuff needs to go away.
Right.
All of it. So it's going to be, but it's all going to be very interesting because there's people all over the world waking up, and everyone wants to have the 1,000 years of peace that we've been looking forward to. And this is, we're part of creating that. So I want everyone to be really clear that we are co-creating with our creator right now. So visualize the world we want. I loved what Al Whitney used to have. She used to end the show, you know, with a brief, you know, prayer and meditation or something. But anyhow, it was all like visualize what we want to see in the world. We need to know the problem, but don't focus on the problem that we don't have power. We do have power. And that's what they have tried to shut down for too long. And it's really, you know, connecting with our own power in our spirit inside of us that, you know, and asking our creator for help and all of that, that we're going to overcome all this. We will.
And it was so disappointing when we started seeing all the protests in Europe against the COVID vaccines and the lockdowns, and we didn't see anything like that here in the States.
Right.
The people are just so convinced, so manipulated and lied to. I remember seeing a documentary called History of the United States, History of Us, or something to that effect. And one of the things that they said, it was that we were the ones, first ones to have television sets, and within 5 or 7 years of when they got it, like 80% of the households had television sets. Well, that was the tool. That was the hypnotic tool that has been used. Of course, education, other things, but that was the tool that was used little by little to make people just believe whatever the government says. It's incredible. Everybody talks about a corruption in government, but all of a sudden they come up with some wacky thing like the COVID-19 lockdown, and everybody falls for it. It's horrendous. That's what we need, the not only the big wake-up, but the big protest.
Well, several of us, I know in this state, many of us traveled to the Capitol because of the lockdowns and the emergency declaration requiring that within a 90-day period, it had to be evaluated by the legislature. Legislature had to, couldn't just allow the executive branch to dictate this draconian order without some kind of proof and an analysis of whether it was justified. And, you know, unbelievably, what they actually fell for, they asked the attorney general, that's part of the executive branch, you know, really, the attorney general actually protects the executive branch in this state and most states. And so the attorney general you know, said, yeah, you don't need to follow your own statute that you passed. The emergency order with the governor stands, you know, just basically turning him into a dictator. And I was horrified. There was only a handful of legislators that traveled and they didn't have a quorum.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I'm just saying there were, I traveled and it was, you know, it's like over 8 hours. I mean, it used to be 10 hours, but they improved the highway a little bit, but you know, it's still kind of a goat trail. But I'm just saying it's a long way for me to travel to the capital in the south part of our state. And I did go with a friend of mine and, you know, we were just appalled. And it was pretty widely attended, but we had Antifa there. Black Lives Matter, you know, they had to try to shut us down. They were already getting going back then. And, yeah. You know, yeah. 20, that was 2020.
Right.
It's amazing. 3 years ago, that, and it was June, so it wasn't, you know, it hasn't been quite 3 years, but we went in June because, it was starting right, I guess they hit all of us on April Fool's Day, isn't that right? It was right at the end of March because I remember because I was closing on my house here and selling my other house all at the end of March 2020. And my buyer and seller, you know, the whole thing, we barely got into our respective homes before everything shut down.
I wouldn't doubt if it was April Fool's Day. These guys are so cynical.
Right. Are you still on the line, Charlie? I think he dropped. Did he? Yeah, we're at the close of the show. You know, I want to just thank you so much for your work. I mean, you know, actually, Sherry really expressed very beautifully my appreciation for you and your work. And I'm not trying to, you know, make you have a big ego or anything, but we so appreciate your dedication. And I know that having children, you know, really fuels that when, you know, you have this kind of tyranny descending on us.
Sometimes people don't understand, even in the family, they don't understand why I continue this fight, especially because there's no obvious success from all of us, that everything that we're doing. But we are waking up people. We are providing information, and someday it'll pay.
We'll
pay back.
Yep.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Okay, well,
God bless you.
Yep, go to naturallawchurch.com. The Natural Law Church. So make sure The Natural Law Church. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Avery. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.